I want to read out of the Old Testament this morning. So if you would, turn with me to 2 Kings, chapter number 7. 2 Kings, chapter number 7. And we're going to begin reading right at the first verse. Now the 7th chapter, there's some things brought up also in the 6th chapter that we relate to a little later in the message. 7th chapter, 2 Kings, verse 1. When Elijah said, then Elijah said, hear ye the word of the Lord. And that's necessary yet today. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel, and the gate is in the gate of Samaria. Then the Lord, on whose hand the king leaned, answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof. And there were 4 leprous men at the entering in of the gate, and they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? If we say we shall enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come, let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. If they kill us, we shall but die. And they rose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots, a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites, the kings of the Egyptians, to come upon us. Wherefore they arose, fled in the twilight, left their tents, their horses, their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent, and did eat and drink, and carried 10 silver, gold, raiment, and went and hid it, came again and into another tent, and carried tents also, and went and hid it. Then said one to another, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us now. Come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. So they came and kind of called unto the porter of the city, and they told him, saying, we came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there, neither voice of man, but horses tied, asses tied, and the tents as they were. They called the porters, and they told it to the king's house within. And the king arose in the night and said unto his servants, I will now show you what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we be hungry. Therefore are they gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the field, saying, when they come out of the city, we shall catch them alive and get into the city. And one of his servants answered and said, let some take, I pray thee, 5 of the horses and remain, which are left in the city. Behold, they are all the multitude of Israel that are left in it. Behold, I say, they are even as all the multitude of the Israelites that are consumed. And let us send and see. They took therefore 2 chariot horses. The king sent after the host of the Syrians, saying, go and see. And they went after them unto Jordan, and lo, all the way was full of garments and vessels which the Syrians had cast away in their haste. And the messengers returned and told the king. And the people went out and spoiled the tents of the Syrians. So a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, 2 measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. And the king appointed the Lord on whose hand he leaned to have the charge of the gate. And the people trod upon him in the gate, and he died, as the man of God had said who spake when the king came down to him. Came to pass, as the man of God had spoken to the king, saying, 2 measures of barley for a shekel, and a measure of fine flour for a shekel, shall be tomorrow about this time at the gate of Samaria. And the Lord answered the man of God and said, Now behold, the Lord shall make windows in heaven, might such a thing be? And he said, Behold, thou shalt see it with mine eye, thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof. And so it fell out unto him, for the people trod upon him in the gate, and he died. That was quite a lengthy scripture reading this morning, but wanted you to see the context of all that was taking place here in the seventh chapter. Samaria was in the midst of a war with Syria, but also they were in the midst of a great famine. Now, the reason the famine was, they were surrounded by Syria. And Syria was cutting off their food, all their trade supplies. They were cutting off all supplies that they needed, to finish the battle, and be successful. The famine was so fierce and starvation was so drastic that if you back up to the sixth chapter, it tells of a woman who actually boiled her son. And then she and another woman ate him. Now that seems almost grotesque to even mention something like that, but that shows how the starvation, how strong the starvation had gotten into the camp of Israel. And when it was told to the king of Israel, it was so grotesque that he rent his clothes and put on sackcloth. The king is beside himself. Amen. And the king gets violent. He gets angry. And he turns the cause of all these happenings on Elijah. And he got so heated in his threat that he threatened to behead Elijah and placed all the blame on him. The king was completely beside himself. He either felt Elijah caused all this to happen, or he could have thought, Elijah, you could have prevented it, or you could have stopped it. So 2 Kings, the 6th chapter, verse number 32, down to the end of that chapter, Elijah sat in his house, and the elders sat with him. And the king sent a man from before him. Now here comes the king, and ahead of him, amen, is a man that's going to take off Elijah's head. Amen. But ere the messenger came to him, he said to the elders, Amen, see how this son of a murderer has sent the, amen, to take away my head. Look, when the messenger cometh, shut the door. Hold him fast to the door. Is not this the sound of his master's feet behind him? And while ye yet talked with him, behold, the messenger came down unto him. And he said, Behold, this evil's of the Lord. What should I wait for the Lord any longer? Amen. Here we see in these scriptures, Elijah was forewarned of what was going to take place. The king, which was Jehoram, Elijah called the son of a murderer. And he was the son of Ahab and Jezebel. Amen. And he called him a son of a murderer, referring to the death of Naboth and also the killing of the prophets by Jezebel. Ahab was a ruthless king who married a wife, amen, just as bad and an influencer of evil. The son of a murderer indicated he was the same as his parents, being influenced and reared, amen, raised up by them. Well, the king and his executioner came with murder in their hearts, but things change when he comes into the house of Elijah. Verse 33, 2 Kings 6:33, and while he yet talked with them, behold, the messenger came down unto him, and he said, Behold, this evil's of the Lord. Why should I wait for the Lord any longer? Amen. What's going on? The king is hostile. Because if Elijah could call on God, and the war would cease, right along with also the famine. He acknowledges that the famine was sent by God and says, why should I wait any longer for God to do something? The king in despair. And then Elijah says this, hear ye the word of the Lord. Hear ye the word of the Lord. Within 24 hours, things are going to change. The famine will be over, and things are going to be cheaper than ever before. There will be plenty, and the prices will decrease. 2 Kings 7 and 2, then the Lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, behold, thou shalt see with thine eyes, but shall not eat thereof. Elisha, here he also prophesies that the king's servant will see it, but not partake. Then we want to come to the thought for our service this morning. What is it? Dying and doing nothing about it. Recapping our message just for a little bit. Israel's in a war, also in a famine, caused by the war. And in the seventh chapter, we pick up the same story. But in the seventh chapter, four leprous men are brought into the picture. 2 Kings 7 and 3, and there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate. They said one to another, why sit we here until we die? Four leprous men sitting at the gate of Samaria. Amen. Lepers according to the law. Amen. They had to live without the camp, without the city, but they're living just as near the gate, or trying to get as near, amen, to the gate as they possibly could. Maybe to obtain relief from the city, and also for the fear of the Syrians. Now, if they went into Samaria, they would be killed. Amen. Either through the famine, or they would kill them as being lepers. Amen. And not dwelling on the outside. If they went into the camp of the Syrians, it was surely going to be death. And if they stayed where they were, it was death. They were an outcast. And nothing really to look forward to but dying. They could either die quickly from the hand of the Syrians, or they could die slowly from starvation. Well, at one time, we all were an outcast. The 147th Psalm, verse number 2, says this, the Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcast of Israel. Isaiah 11th chapter, verse 12, and he shall set up an ensign for the nations, shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Here were four lepers, as low as one could get, lonely, separated, depressed, living on people's excess or throwaway, no family to associate with, dying of a slow, painful, dreaded disease called leprosy. Also, no one was going to have pity on them or come to their rescue, amen, because they didn't want to contact the disease. The disease was highly contagious. Leprosy is a perfect type of sin. It has a little beginning, but increases. Amen. And sin always adds to sin. Has the same attributes. It separates families. It separates friends. It causes depression. It causes loneliness. And only God can cure it. Amen. There was no vaccine back then. There was no pill, no doctor, amen, who could cure leprosy. They were at the mercy of God. The question was asked in Luke 18:26, and they then heard it said, "Who then can be saved?" And he said, "The things which are impossible with men are possible with God." Four leprous men with a choice. Go into the camp of Syrians, take a chance. They might save us alive or kill us, or stay where we are and die, or go into the camp of the Israelites. And there's a famine there also. 2 Kings 7:4 said, "If we say we'll enter into the city, then the famine is in the city. We shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore, come, let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die." That was the choice they were faced with. But the portion of the fourth verse we want to look at this morning. If we sit still here, we die. We die also. God only knows how many people are doing that today. What do you mean? Sitting in Church of God congregations and dying lost. Because they want to hold on to their sin, or they're just too proud to own it. Amen. The four lepers knew that there was plenty to eat in the Syrians' camp, but to be able to partake, they didn't know if they'd be killed instantly. Amen. Or allowed to live. What was going on? There's something, while these lepers are thinking on this, something is going on in the Syrians' camp. So let's go to verse number 6 of the 7th chapter. Let's see what was going on. Amen, in the Syrians' camp. "For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots, a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, 'Lo, the king of Israel had hired against us the kings of the Hittites, the kings of the Egyptians, to come upon us.'" The camp of Syria, amen, heard the noise. Whatever the noise was, it got the attention of all those in the camp. Immediately, their thinking was that Israel hired out other kings, such as the Hittites or the Egyptians, amen, to help them to overthrow the Syrian army. Now the Syrian camp had plenty of supplies, plenty of food, drinks, gold, silver, raiment. They had everything they needed to fight a war. The lepers had struck a gold mine as far as they were concerned. But as they began to feast, the lepers went into the camp. There's nobody there. So they go from tent to tent. But as they begin to feast upon the treasure, going from tent to tent, 2 Kings 7:9 says, "Then they said one to another, 'We do not well.'" Their conscience is bothering them. "This day is a day of good tidings." They had to admit that. "And we hold our peace, otherwise we're not saying anything. If we tarry to the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. Let me read that from another translation. Doesn't change the meaning whatsoever. Verse 9. But then they said to each other, we shouldn't be doing this. We have good news, and we shouldn't keep it to ourselves. If we wait until morning to tell it, we're sure to be punished. Let's go right now and tell the king's officers. Again, the lepers were faced with a decision. Set where they were and just given over to death. Or just give up or put forth some effort. Check out the Syrians' camp, which they finally did. Yes, they took a chance. They might be killed instantly, but they felt it was better to be killed instantly than starving to death. The choice they made was the right choice. Turn with me to the book of Luke, the New Testament, chapter number 14. Let's read a few verses there. Luke 14 and 16 beginning. We're going to break in verse 16. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. And sent a servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto them, I bought a piece of ground. I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I married a wife, therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his Lord all these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed, the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servants, go out into the highways, amen, hedges, compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. In this parable, we know the master stands for God. The originally invited guest from the beginning stands for the Jewish nation. Through all their history, they look forward to the day when God would, amen, would break into history. And when he did, they refused his invitation. The poor people from the streets and lanes stands for the tax collectors, the sinners who welcome Jesus in a way which the Orthodox Jew never did. Those gathered in from the roads and the hedges stands for the Gentiles, for whom there was still ample room, amen, at the feast of God. The first man said he bought a field, was going to see it. Otherwise, he allowed the claims of business to usurp the claims of God. It's still possible for a man to be so immersed in this world that he has no time for worship and no time to pray. No time to attend the house of God, nor even think about a soul. His goal is to attain as much of this world's goods, to live comfortably in the ending of his life. Turn me to Luke, the 12th chapter. Luke, the 12th chapter. Break in at verse number 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I'll pull down my barns, build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Amen. Now, already you can read into this parable that the rich man did have one thought, that he was going to live a long time. That you can see all through this parable. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Not rich toward God in spiritual things, in righteousness, holiness, good works, now or anything that pertains unto God. His whole world was caught up in himself. But the best laid out plans, church, don't always come to pass. God called the rich man a fool. Amen. I called him a fool because he thought he could plan the present and the future right up to the ending of his life. And all it had to do was with, all of it had to do with comfort in this life. Take it easy and rest as if he knew what the end of his life would be like. But let's break into the book of James. James, the fourth chapter, verse 14, says this, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live, do this or that. Or the next man in the parable allowed possessions to rob him of worship. Amen. And it could be a new boat. It could be a new car. It could be a new house or any possession which takes time away from God. We need to be careful in this age here, church, of allowing material things to take us away, amen, and our priorities. The next excuse was given that he married a wife, and he also couldn't follow. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:22, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. It does make a difference who you marry. It does make a difference. If you ever earnestly prayed about anything, you should on whom you marry. Amen. Ahab married Jezebel. She was no help to him. She helped him to do evil and to do wrong. Paul warns us in 1 Corinthians 7:39, he said the wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, she's at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. Only in the Lord. Paul said to marry, amen, in the Lord. And this is not just good advice for the widow, but for anyone who's contemplating marriage. Marry in the Lord. It's a very serious event that happens in one's life. A lot of experiences have been destroyed because of bad marriages. Amen. Sometimes there's difference in worship, difference in priorities, differences that should have been avoided, amen, back when they were dating. Warning signs appear and are not heeded many times. Amen. Such as one that's controlling, constantly jealous, bossy, not really that interested in the things of God. Constantly have to fight them off. Why? Because they're fleshly. That ought to be a warning sign to you, church. Many times ones go right over top of these signs and pay the price later, and it turns into a sad relationship. Excuses for not serving God. Even the doomed lepers were not going to stay where they were and die without putting forth some effort. And look how God rewarded them. He took the worst class of people in the Bible. Amen. And brought them to the banquet table. The real down and outer. With no reason to even live. Amen. God made a great supper, which will feed and fill every soul that comes. There's enough soul food at God's house to last you. Amen. Into eternity. Revelation, the 22nd chapter, verse number 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And just like the lepers, when you find the treasure of all treasures, you'll want to share it with someone else. Look at that. As they partook in that tent, their conscience, they were still Israelites, their conscience went to their brothers. Amen. And immediately, they wanted to share, amen, all that spoil with them. John the 4th chapter, verse number 25, speaking to the woman at the well, the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he has come, he'll tell us all things. And this verse right here always thrills me when I read it. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Wow, what powerful words. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pots, her priorities changed, and it went away into the city and saith to the men, come. See a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. Those who are hungry and thirsty, God will fill you. As we begin to close the message, Jesus said in Matthew 5 and 6, he said this, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. What is Jesus really saying? You will be blessed. Amen. You will not be filled with worldliness or sinful things, but rather you'll be filled with righteousness. As I thought on the message throughout the week, and I thought on the great supper Jesus had prepared for us, I thought of one's city. In our congregation, other congregations as well, they're sitting there doing exactly what the lepers were doing. Amen. And said that they would do if they hadn't put forth the effort. They're dying. Do you know that when you sit in a congregation and you're not saved, you know you're dying three deaths? Somebody, three, there's only two. Well, let me finish. Let me finish. You said three deaths? Yes. They're dead spiritually. Amen. They are dying physically. And they're in grave danger of the second death. Eternal separation from God. Here you can take four of the offscour of the earth. The lowest a person could be was a leper. What did the leper have in his life? No hope, unless God moved in his behalf. A leper dying a slow death. Amen. Out to the camp. He can't be around his family. He can't be around his friends. The only one he could be around was somebody else who had leprosy. And certainly they wouldn't be an encouragement. Amen. That's like somebody's got cancer, being in a room with somebody else that's got cancer. There's no encouragement. The lowest of vile people getting help. 2 Kings 7 and 3. And there were four leprous men at the entering of the gate. They said one to another, why sit we here until we die? Why just stay here and die, and not only starvation, but die also of leprosy? If we say we'll enter the city, the famine is in the city, we'll die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Therefore, come. And let us fall in the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we'll be alive. If they kill us, we shall but die. We're going to die anyhow. What happened? 2 Kings 7 and 8. I believe God took one of the lowest class of peoples in the whole world and let you know that God will save whosoever will. Verse number 8, 2 Kings 7. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent, ate, drank, carried silver, gold, raiment, went and hid it. And that wasn't enough. They went into another tent and entered into another tent and carried tents also and went and hid it. What an amen. And that's what a soul finds when he comes to Jesus. He can go from one blessing to another. One blessing to another. Plenty of soul food and many blessings to go with it. Amen. The title of the message, why sit we here till we die? Why sit we here? There's nothing sadder to anybody's heart and seeing somebody sit and wind up lost when it was so unnecessary. And all they had to do was put forth just a little effort. You see, these leprous people had more sense than a lot of people do today. And what does this story tell us? That God is there to feed the hungry soul of whoever you might be. You could be the vilest of sinners. You could be raised in the church. Whatever. There's plenty at God's table. And you're going to go like they did from one tent to another, from one blessing to another. And each one of those tents they found what? All they needed to sustain them.